Today's daf is Bava Basra daf Samach. We got to try to keep moving quickly today so that we finish the parak. And Bez Hashem will start a new parak tomorrow. Okay, we left off. Where did we leave off?
Tan Rabbanan.
Okay, four lines up. Tan Rabbanan. Maisa bad mechad shepasach chalon of l'chatzar ha-shutfin. There's a story of a guy who had opened up his window to a chatzar ha-shutfin. Uba lefnei Rabbi Yishmael bar Rabbi Yossi, and he came to Rabbi Yishmael bar Rabbi Yossi for his intara. So Amalo, hechzakta bini, hechzakta. Rabbi Yishmael bar Rabbi Yossi says, you have a chazaka. He opened up into a chatzar ha-shutfin. No one said anything. So you have a chazaka. Uba lefnei Rabbi Chia, amar, yagatu pesachta, yagev us a som. You put an effort in to open up the window, so the other guy can put an effort in to close up the window, meaning not close up the window, but to build something in front of it. To close up the window, to go and close it up, says Rashbam, Leich yageh v'sasom, delo hav yechazaka at shaloshanim, meaning he was paskening, you don't have a chazaka, it takes 3 years to develop a chazaka, and you don't have a chazaka. If he wants you to close it, so then you need to go and close the window. Amar Rav Nachman, v'listam li'alter havi chazaka, she'ein adam asui she'sos m'oro b'fanav v'shosek. That if the other fellow, the guy who lives in the chatzar, wants to be sos in the window, and even after the guy has had the window for 3 years, and the fellow with the window is shosek, so the stima immediately has a chazaka, because it never happens that you can close off somebody's light and the guy is going to be quiet about it. So if you build something right in front of his window, even if he was muksuk in the window, you build something right in front of his window and he doesn't say anything about it, that's going to be a chazaka to be able to keep that building in front of the window, because it's not normal to watch someone build something in front of your window where you get your light from, and not say anything. So if you did, if you saw someone build something and you didn't say anything, it's because he has a chazaka that he's allowed to keep it there. Lakach bayis b'chatzar acheres lo yiftachenu l'chatzar ha-shutfin. So we had said in our Mishnah that if you buy a house in a neighboring chatzar, you're not allowed to open up that house into a chatzar ha-shutfin. You're not allowed to make a new entrance, a new doorway to the house into a chatzar ha-shutfin. My time, why is that? Because you're going to cause more traffic in the chatzar by having somebody else coming through the chatzar. But then the solution the Mishnah gives doesn't seem to be very good. The Mishnah gives a solution that what should you do? You can build a place in the house where the other apartment that you built in your house lets out into. Meaning, if you build a top floor apartment on your house, then just make sure that the door doesn't go straight from the top floor apartment down into the chatzar, but rather just go down into your house and then out into the chatzar. What do you mean? If the whole point is that you're bringing too many people, you're bringing too much traffic into the chatzar, eventually he's got to leave your house, so it's going to still create too much traffic. So Amar Rav Huna, my cheder shechalka l'shnayim, umay aliyah aftai. He says, no, when we say that you build a room, it doesn't mean that you go and you add space into your house by adding a second floor or by adding an extra area in the back. No, what it means is you take your living area and you divide it in half, either vertically or horizontally, and then you allow someone to live in the other half of that area. That you're allowed to do. Bottom line, it's still going to cause more people to be there. So Rishbam explains, V'hilkach ein kanto sefes bin yaklal, lo b'cheder v'lo b'aliyah, d'cheder haino shechilek rachvo shechede, v'aso shnei chadarim k'tzarim v'cheder aliyah. Now he just explains over there that you're building in a way that you're not adding anything new. It was the previous Rishbam that says it, what I'm looking for. Rishbam Dibra Maschalmai, the bedaver zeh yesh lo rishos sheyachal l'malus kol beis l'diurin. Is there any limitation, any quota on how many people you're allowed to have living in your house? If a family is blessed with a lot of children, so what? We tell them, no, sorry, there are too many diurin in this chatzar. You can't have any more than two or three children in your house because we don't want too much noise in the chatzar. You can't legislate how many people are going to live in a person's house. If they want to have their elderly parents come and move in with them, you can say, no, only one family, only two generations at a time. Sorry, no three generations. No, you can't can't legislate that. If a person wants to have a lot of people living in his house, what you can legislate is whether he does new construction and he builds an apartment building above his house and he does new construction to accommodate more people. That's where we say that Yamar Balayna said that you're causing too many people to use the chatzer. But if it's just his house, the way it was built, and he just happens to be okay living with a lot of extra people, tenants in his house, so there's no way you can legislate with against that. Okay, says the Mishnah, Leiftach adam lechatzer ha-shutvin Pesach keneged Pesach v'chalon keneged chalon. In a chatzer ha-shutvin, you can't open up a door directly across from a neighbor's door, nor a window directly across from his window. You have to space them in a way where when you look out your window, you're not looking straight into his window. Hayakatan lo yasenu gadol, echad lo yasenu shnayim. And if the door was small, you're not allowed to turn it into a bigger door. If it was one, you can't turn it into two doors. Aval paseach l'rushus harabim, pesach k'neged pesach v'chalon k'neged chalon. If there's a rushus harabim that your house opens up to, so you can open up a door that goes out to the rushus harabim, even though it's directly across from a door that's across the street of the rushus harabim, and also a window can be the same way. If you can have a window directly across from someone else's window, if there's a rushus harabim in between the two windows. Hayakatan also so gadol ve'echad also so shnayim. And similarly, if your door or window leads out to Rosh Hashanah, if it was small, you can expand it, and if there was one door, you could turn it into two doors. Says Gemara Minani Mili. How do we know that this is true? That it's not appropriate to open up doors or windows directly across from neighbors' doors or windows in a typical chatzar case. So Amar Biyachman Damar Ka Pasuk says, Vayisa Bilam Aseinav Vayar Yisrael Shochet Neshvatav. He saw the way the Jewish people live. Bilam saw the way the Jewish people live. Ma Ra'a, what did he see? Ra'a Shein Pischei Aleim Uchavan and Zalazah. He saw exactly this, that the doors to our tents were not directly across from each other because we didn't want to put each other in embarrassing situations. You don't want to walk out of your tent or look through the door of your tent and see directly into your neighbor's tent. Amar and Bilam saw that. He said, "Ru'uyana halalu shetishra aleim shchina." These people deserve that the shchina should be shara in them for living in such a tznua type of way. It says Tosos, "Misefe dekradarish tichsiv ati alav ruach elokim." Where does it say in the pasuk that he said anything about the shchina? No, because it then says "vati alav ruach elokim." After seeing that, then "vati alav ruach elokim." So we're dashing that means that he actually was commenting that about us, that we deserve the Shekhinah to constantly be in our presence. Right, the Bilam, it's noted. Bilam says in Tamus Nafshi Mos Yesharim, right? The Nitziv in his Hakdama to Sefer Bereishis discusses that what Bilam noticed most about the Jewish people, more than their righteousness, was their Yashrus. Right, he refers to the Jewish people, certainly to the Avos, as Yesharim. And that was, the way that we interact with each other, the way that we deal with each other, with a sense of Yashrus, that was that's what impressed him the most. The Nitziv says, and that's why Sefer Bereishis is Sefer Yesharim, because that's the point that we're supposed to get out of Sefer Bereishis. That you have people like Avram Avinu, who stands for the exact opposite that everybody in Sodom stands for, and yet he goes and he prays his heart out to be able to save them, to deal with people with such dignity and such respect, even when you so vehemently disagree with everything that they're about. That's a yashar, that's a sense of yashrus, that's a way an Avram Avinu deals with other people. And it's if it's a beautiful akdam, it's Sefer Bereishis, it's just one little paragraph, but he explains all this. And that's what Bilam could not imagine. He could imagine, he could picture Nevuah that he had, but he couldn't imagine such a sense of yashrus. So we said in the Mishnah that if it was small, you shouldn't make the doorway bigger. That yes, if you have a 4-amma wide doorway, you shouldn't turn it into an 8-amma wide doorway, because then you're going to end up taking 8 ammos of width of the chatzer that you're entitled to based on a larger doorway. So you're going to end up taking more area in the chatzer. That's what you're not allowed to do. Aval bar tarti, but if you have a 2-amma wide doorway, the shavi bar abba, a shapir dami. So to turn it into a 4-amma wide doorway, we thought is fine, because no matter how small the doorway is, it's always a minimum of 4 amos that you get in the chatzer. So by expanding it from 2 to 4 amos, you're still going to get the same 4 amos in the chatzer. So Amalei Rava, Rava said, no, Matzi Amalei, still, even if that's all you're doing, you're changing it from 2 amos wide to 4 amos wide, the neighbors can say to you, Bepischa Zutra Matzim Litztanu Eminach, Bepischa Rava Lo Matzim Litztanu Eminach. When you have a narrower opening, it's easier to be tanua, to hide from you. When you have a wider opening, it's much more difficult to hide from you. And therefore, you can't even turn a 2-amma-wide doorway into a 4-amma-wide doorway. Echad lo yasenu shnayim. If you have one doorway, you can't turn it into two. Savar Rami bar Chama lemeimar, bar arba'i lo l'shav yitrei, trei b'nei tati tati. So again, a similar conversation. We thought that that meant that you can't take a 4-amma-wide doorway and turn it into two 2-amma doors. Why? Because for each door you get 4 amos, so it's going to turn out to kashakal timni b'chatzer. You can end up taking 8 amos in the chatzer as opposed to 4 amos that you take for one door. Aval bar timni l'shav yitrei, but if you have an 8-amma-wide doorway and you instead turn it into 2 4-amma doorways, so then you're taking the same amount of space in the chatzer anyway, so we would assume that would be fine. Amalei Rava, Rava said, no, it's not okay. Matzi Amalei, Bechad Pischa Matzina Itztanu Eminach, Betreila Matzina Itztanu Eminach. With one doorway, I can still maintain privacy. With two doorways, I'm not going to be able to maintain privacy. You get more angles, you're able to look in from more sides. I'm not going to be able to maintain privacy. Why? Says Rashbam, Kishu Na'ul Yacholni Lishtamish Bechatzer. When it's closed, when one door is closed, I could do whatever I want in the chatzer. Inami lishtamish shelo kenegdo, or I can always be mishtamish, I can always use the chatzer, not directly across from the door. Avol b'shnei pesachim lo matzina litztanui kol kach, dafilu me'echon nol hasheni yeh pasuach. Meaning, when there's one door, there will be more total time where that one door is closed than when there are two doors, having both doors closed. Right? Sometimes when there are two doors, one of the two will be closed, but it's very, very rare to have both doors closed when there are two doors, and therefore it's much more difficult to do tashmishin shel tzina, to do private things in the chatzer. Fine, says the Gemara Vayter, Avul Pesach l'Rushas Rabim, Pesach neged Pesach. The Mishnah had said that in Rushas Rabim, you can open up a Pesach neged Pesach. You can open up one doorway directly across from another doorway. Says Gemara, why? Da'amalei, sof, habas itzanuim, ibnei Rushas Rabim, because the fellow who's opening up the doorway can say, look, you anyway have to be tzanua, you have to be careful with how you use your house, when the whole Rushas Rabim could look right through your door. So anyway, you have to be careful that when you open up your door, everyone's dressed appropriately and nothing's going on or whatever. So since anyway you have to be careful from the B'nai Rosh Hashanah, what am I adding with my Hezek Re'iyah, right, by having a doorway directly across from yours? There are always B'nai Rosh Hashanah there in any case. Okay, new Mishnah. Daf Samech Amar Aleph, toward the bottom of the page, new Mishnah. Enos and Chalal Tachas Rosh Hashanah, you're not allowed to dig tunnels underneath the Rosh Hashanah, Boros Sheikh Lamaros, or any type of, right, the Boros Sheikh Lamaros is an explanation of Chalal, meaning you're not allowed to dig any sort of holes underneath the Rosh Hashanah, even if you start the digging in your Rosh Hashanah and you just tunnel it underneath the Rosh Hashanah, so there's no actual opening in the ground of the Rosh Hashanah, you're not allowed to dig like that through ground space of Rosh Hashanah. And Rashbam explains why. Rashbam says, even if you say at the outset, yes, I'm digging underneath the Rosh Hashanah, but I'm being mekabel upon myself any damage that happens as a result of my tunnel, I'm telling you, I'm going to pay up front. But nevertheless, not up front, I'm going to pay as soon as it happens. Says Rashbam, still you can't do it. Why? People are still not, would still rather not have to deal with an ordeal than to have to get hurt and then have to go through Beis Din to retrieve their money. It's like we have auto insurance, and our auto insurance pays for any accident that we get into. Still, would you rather get into an accident and then have to, even if you're okay and you're healthy and safe, would you rather get into an accident than have to go through the insurance company and go and get your money back? Or would you rather just not get into the accident in the first place? Davar Pashut. You'd rather not have to deal with it. Even if financially you're secure, people would rather not have to deal with it. So you can't go and dig underneath the Rosh Hashanah. So Rabbi Lazar Matir, Kadesh Tei Agalam Alechas Utuna Avanim. Rabbi Lazar is Matir so long as a wagon can go carrying heavy stones, right? Rocks are considered to be heavy. So then, as long as the top of that tunnel that you dug is strong enough that it's not going to cave in with a significant amount of weight, which is what we assume is the maximum weight that anyone would use. So it's a roadway that will have a sign that will say no more than X amount of tons, which it would never have more than that anyway. So as long as normal usage of that roadway should not allow it to cave in, he's going to be matir. It's going to be okay. Now the Rashash says nira. He says why? What's the idea of agalam aleches tuna vadim? He says nira mishum to bedavar kal hamishkal ein torn in kol kach shia shava b'mishkal kmo davar kovar hamishkal. He says when it comes to something heavy, you require that the weight be more evenly distributed than when it comes to something light. Meaning, when it comes to, even though sometimes the Gemara says it's in Bava Metzia, it's more difficult to carry something that's a light package if it's more bulky. But nevertheless, over here we're talking about weighty things, because when dealing with how much weight is applied, we're dealing with whether it's going to cave in, and not dealing with whether a person is going to have an easy time carrying it, but rather how much weight the ground can hold. So the more weight plays a much bigger role, obviously, than the volume would play. Volume plays a role when you're dealing with a person trying to maneuver to carry something. Okay, so anyway, says the Mishnah Vayter, Ein motzin zizin v'guzus tra'us l'rushus rabim. A person can't build out into the Rishus Rabim little ledges off of his house that protrude out into the Rishus Rabim. Ella, but what do you do if you want to have nice architecture and you want to have little ledges that stick out of your house? Imratza, konis l'tok shalom motzi. Build your house a little bit in on your property so that the ledges that you build out will stick out to the edge of your property, not into the Rishus Rabim. It's a very simple solution. But let's say you buy a house and it already has things protruding, sticking out into the Rishus HaRabim, so then you're allowed to keep it, because we assume that the person who built those up was probably Konis L'Tok Shalom, he was probably Machnas L'Tok Shalom and Motzi. He probably built that, he probably one time long ago had moved the walls in order to allow for that, and in such a case, even though you have no idea, you don't have any documentation of how that was built, in such a case we would say Ton in L'Lokeach. We'll make a Tain on behalf of the L'Lokeach that it must have been that some previous under was Machnas L'Tok Shalom, move the wall in a little bit in order to build these Zizin Ugazus Tra'os, and that's why they're there. Fine, says the Gemara, V'Rabbanan, why don't Rabbanan allow for a tunnel being dug underground if the top of the tunnel can hold, if the ground in the Rosh Hashanah can still hold a wagon full of stones? What more do you need? What's the problem? What's the potential problem? So the Rabban would say, no, Zimnin de Mavkas Falavadaite. Sure, when you first build it, it can hold a wagon full of stones. But over time, dirt's going to move around, and weight's going to shift, and things are going to move, and ultimately you might not be able to hold a wagon full of stones anymore, and you're still going to have a tunnel underneath the Rosh Hashanah. So the Rabbanan are concerned for the future, that in the future it might come that you're not going to realize that it's going to deteriorate in terms of its quality and the weight capacity, and then it's going to cause a problem. So that's why the Rabbanan say no digging tunnels underneath the Rosh Hashanah. I don't care how reinforced you believe it is. It could have steel beams. It doesn't make a difference. We don't dig tunnels underneath the Rosh Hashanah. Ein motzin zizim gezuz tra'os. So the Mishnah said you don't stick ledges out into the Rosh Hashanah either. Rabbi Ami havalei ziza da have nafik l'mavua. Rabbi Ami had a ziz that protruded out into a mavui. Vahu gavra nami havalei ziza da have nafik l'Rosh Hashanah. And there was another guy who also had a ziz, a ledge that protruded out into the Rosh Hashanah. Now notice the difference. Rabbi Ami's protruded into a mavui. A mavui is a shared area amongst many chatzeros. But let's say you have three or four chatzeros that open up into a mavui, and three or four houses in each chatzer, so it's a small neighborhood. So you basically know everybody in your mavui. You'll have a basic knowledge of who the people are. Whereas a Rosh Hashanah, that's just the public. That you have no knowledge of who they are. So Asal Kamei to Rabbi Ami. So they came to Rabbi Ami because this fellow who had the Ziz and opened up into the Rosh Hashanah had problems. People were giving him problems. Amarle Zil Kotz. So Rabbi Ami said, sorry, you got to cut off those ledges. You can't just build ledges out into the Rosh Hashanah. So Amarle Vamar Nami Yisle. He said, what do you mean? You also have ledges that stick out of your house. Why are your ledges any different than mine? Amalei says, no, they're very different. Didilu mavua mapik, b'nei mavua machlin gabayi. Mine go out into the mavui. And I got mechila from all the b'nei mavui. I asked the rishos, and they told me that they're mochel on my zizan being built out into the rishos rabim. What about you? Tidach, the rishos rabim mapik, man machlin gabach. Yours protrude out into the rishos rabim. Who's going to be mochel you? No one was mochel you. And you can't have people be mochel you. So it's the rishos rabim. It's everybody. It's the general public. So there's no way it could work for you. There's a fundamental difference, right? Sometimes things can look hypocritical, but if you pay careful attention, sometimes people aren't. We're a little too cynical. Sometimes people aren't always being so hypocritical. Well, all you have to realize is that the Zizan of Rabbi Ami were built out into a mavoi where he could have easily gotten mechila, whereas this fellow had a Zizan built out into Rosh Hashanah where there was no way he was going to be able to get mechila. Rabbi Yanai Havalei, a similar story. Rabbi Yanai Havalei Ilan Hanotel Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Yanai had a tree that branched over into Rosh Hashanah. Asu b'nei Rosh Hashanah. Hava Hahu Gavra Davleinami Ilan Hanotel Rosh Hashanah. And there was another fellow also that had a tree that branched over, hovering over Rosh Hashanah. Asu b'nei Rosh Hashanah have a kamakli ilave. Now the other fellow who had the tree, the b'nei Rosh Hashanah said, "We want you to cut down the tree. It blocks the derech, the path underneath the tree. We bang our heads in it or whatever when we're riding on animals. It's hard to get under it. Whatever it is, we don't like that. The fruits fall in the Rosh Hashanah, rotten fruits." Well, that would be a bigger issue, I guess, for a fruit tree. But whatever it is, it's bothering us in the Rosh Hashanah. Also, the Kamed Rabbi Yanai, so they came to Rabbi Yanai. Amalei Zil Hi'idna V'Salamacha. Rabbi Yanai said, I can't decide this case right now. I'm going to ask you to leave the basin right now. Come back tomorrow, and I'll give my decision tomorrow. B'Leile Shadar Katzila Hudidei. That night, he cut down his own tree that extended over into the Rosh Hashanah. L'machar Sol Kamei. The next day, they came back to his basin. Amalei Zil Kotz. And he said, okay, I made my decision. You need to cut down the tree. Amalei Hamar Nami. He says, what do you mean I need to cut down my tree? You also have a tree that goes out into the Rosh Hashanah. So, Hamar Nami Yislai. Amalei, he said, Zil, Chazi, Ikotz Tidi, Kotz Tidach. Ilo Kotz Tidi, Lo Tikotzach. He says, why don't you go check if I still have a tree that goes out into the Rosh Hashanah. If you find that I have a tree that goes out into the Rosh Hashanah, then you don't have to cut down yours. If you find that mine has been cut down, then yours can be cut down as well. Meaning what he was saying is, you're right, I did, I made a mistake, and therefore I corrected my mistake. Now that I corrected my mistake, you correct your mistake as well. So, what? At first, he just wasn't bothered by the fact that he was annoying the Rosh Hashanah and that he was doing something illegal, and only after he had to hear his zoning case did he himself abide by his own zoning laws. But is that possible? We don't assume that about our chachamim, right? You could assume that about politicians sometimes, but not about Talmid Chachamim. Just read yesterday that the governor of California passed a law about not talking on cell phones while you're driving, and his wife in the last 2 weeks got 2 tickets for talking on cell phones while driving. Right? So we assume, but we're not going to assume that about the dayanim. We're not going to assume that about that he wasn't observing his own laws. So says him right now, or the Torah laws, even worse. No, the whole point is whether people are makpid. He thought he was doing a service to the public. He thought people enjoyed having the tree and having the shade that the tree offers, and people would enjoy resting under the tree and enjoying the shade. Given the chazad the kama'akvi shadakatya, once he saw that they had a problem with the trees hanging over into the Rosh Hashanah, that's when he cut it down. Well, they didn't have a problem with his tree. Had a problem with this other guy's tree. No, but he obviously realized that they probably had a problem with his tree also. It's just that he was a rabbi, they didn't want to bother him. So they didn't make a big deal out of it. So he saw that they were uncomfortable with it, and therefore he cut it down. Why did he have to wait 24 hours to issue the judgment go cut down his tree in the interim. Why couldn't you just tell the guy, you know what, you're right, I'm going to cut down mine also. You cut yours, I'll cut mine, we'll have a cutting party. Why did he have to make sure that his tree was cut down first before he issues the Pesach Halacha? So it says, Gemara, Mishum Dresh Lakish, Damar, his Koshu Kshot, Bekoshu, Kshot Atzmecha, Vachach Kshot Acherim. That you first need to remove his kosher means to, says Rosh Bam, haser kash mi bein einecha, to take away the straw from between your eyes. You have to do that before you do it on anybody else. Meaning, if you want to correct other people, you need to make sure that your own behavior is impeccable before you go and make suggestions about how other people can improve their behavior. So he needed to take care of it himself first, and then go and issue his psak halacha. Avlim ratza kodis tatok shalom motzi. So we said in the Mishnah that if you want, you can build within your property and then be motzi zizin that protrude out into your own property, right? As long as it doesn't protrude out into the Rosh Hashanah, just move the edge of your house in a little bit so that the zizin will protrude out into the into your own Rosh Hashanah, not the Rosh Hashanah. So says Gemara Yibayilhu, Khanas v'lahotzi ma'u sheyachzav yotzi. What if a person built his wall into his property a little bit, never built zizin on it? He never ended up, he built it into his own property, an amma or so, whatever, a couple of tfachim into his own property, but he never went and built the ledges that protrude out. Then later on, a couple of years later, he decides, you know what, it would look really nice with zizin. I want to build zizin off my wall. Is he allowed to do that now? Or is it only right away when he's machnas l'tok shalom, that's when he can build it? By now, the Bnei Rosh Hashanah already have a chazaka on that area that's beyond his wall, and therefore he's no longer allowed to build zizin. So that's the shaila. Rabbi Yochanan amar kanas motzi, Rabbi Yochanan amar kanas eina motzi. Rabbi Yochanan says, for sure he could still do it, meaning he was machnas l'tok shalom, there's no time limit on machnas l'tok shalom, and Rabbi Yochanan says, no, absolutely not, he cannot do it anymore. Once a significant amount of time went by, the Bnei Rosh Hashanah have a chazaka. So let me explain to you. When it comes to building out the zizin into the Rosh Hashanah, not into the Rosh Hashanah, into the area that used to be his own Rishus, everyone would agree that you're allowed to do that. That's not really the machlokas over here between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Ki pligi lahachzik salam lemakoman. No, the machlokas is, let's say he moves his fences in off of the Rosh Hashanah line a couple of tefachim, and a couple of years later he says, you know what, I want to move my fences back out. That's where the machlokas is. V'ipcha itmar, Rabbi Yochanan amar eino machzir, Reish Lakish amar machzir, and the shitos are reversed. Rabbi Yochanan is the one that says you cannot take your fence and put it back on the line, and Reish Lakish says absolutely you can. It's your property, you never sold that property to anybody, so you can put your fence right back on the line. Rabbi Yochanan amar eino machzir mishum d'Rav Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yochanan say you can't? Because he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, d'Amar Rav Yehuda meitzer shechziku bo rabim asal kalkalo. That if you have an area that the Bnei Rosh Hashanah rabim have already been muchzak in, so you're not allowed to take that away. Reish Lakish amar, Reish Lakish would respond, machzir hani mili hechad d'laka ravcha hacha ha'ika ravcha. He says, no, you can be machzir, because when do we say that you're not allowed to take away an area that the Bnei Rosh Hashanah rabim have been muchzak in? That's only where there's no other space for them to go through. But over here, there's plenty of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, right? There's plenty of other space. It's just that you had extended the area that they're able to go through by moving in your fences, so you could put it back to normal. It's not a matter of taking anything away. It's just a matter of putting everything back to normal. Fine. Laka chatzar baz zizun v'gazus tra'os harei b'chaskasa. If you buy a chatzar and it already has ledges protruding out, you're allowed to keep the ledges that it has. Amrapuna nafla chozer rabona asa. And not only that, if it falls down, you can go and rebuild it. Meisvei ein mesaidin vein mekayrin vein mefeichin bezman hazeh, that you're not allowed to make in your house nice pictures and images on the wall, right? You have to. You're not allowed to use and you're not allowed to use high quality building materials. Bizman hazeh, right? Very white building, tar, white cement, or whatever it is. Bizman hazeh, now that we don't have Beis HaMikdash, because we have to try to tone things down to show a sign of Avelus over the Churban, now that we don't have Beis HaMikdash. But laka chatzur mesuyedes mukiyares mefuyeches harezu b'cheskasa. But if you buy a chatzur and it already has these images on the wall, engraved on the wall, or colored on the wall, and it already has, it's already mesuyedes, so then you don't have to take it off. You're allowed to leave it the way it is. Nafla, Eino chozer bonusa, but still, if it falls down, you cannot rebuild it in that way. So, in fact, the Gemara, isn't that the same as us? Isn't that the same as our case? We have the zizim gazos tratos. You're not allowed to build them out in the first place. Just like by these pictures, by these images that you're not allowed to put there in the first place. If you buy it and it's there already, you're allowed to keep it. Just like by these images, where if you buy it already and it's there, you're allowed to keep it. And what does it say by the images? If it fell down, you're not allowed to rebuild it. How can we say over here that if it falls down, you are allowed to rebuild it? So answers the Gemara, Isur Rishayni. No, there's a big difference. That's by an Isser, meaning this is an Isser after the Churban HaBayis to go and do construction in such a way. Over here, we're talking about hesed. We're talking about whether it's called damaging somebody else, and this is your own property. It's ben adam l'chaver. It's a totally separate issue. It's not going to be matir to do an isur just because you had something there previously. It's not matir you to do any isurim. Over here, it's a question of whether it's hesed. Well, if the person is used to it, and this is the way you've always had it, so then it's not defined as hesed. In fact, the chiluk is so fundamental, it's hard to figure out what the havamina was. To compare these two cases, it sounds like almost it would only be a kasha if you really weren't paying attention to what the details of the halachas that we're talking about are. I mean, it's such a fundamental chiluk; it has nothing to do with hezek. So says Tosos, an explanation of the havamina nafla eno chazur bonosa. Says Tosos, hashta salka daitach. We're assuming at this point in the Gemara debayis shabana bezman shebeis hamikdash kayam, that if the house was built when the Beis Hamikdash was around, v'nafla and it fell down. You can go and rebuild it. And when you buy a chatzar musiyades, you can assume that it has a chazak of the chazman shi kayemes, yeshla nulitl shebeheter asa bizman shebeis hamikdash kayem. What are you assuming about that chatzar musiyades that you buy? What's the only way that that you're allowed to keep it is if you make the assumption that it must have been there since the days of the Beis Hamikdash. Aval kishe nafla talinan shebeisr nasis, the akhr churban. And when it falls down, why do we assume you can't build it up? The havamina was, we're assuming you can't rebuild it, was because you're assuming that it was put there be'isser, after the Churban, and was not put there beheter before the Churban. And that's why it fell. That's why you can't build it up. So that's what we're saying. When you buy the Zizim Gazos Traos, the Chata that has Zizim Gazos Traos, you're allowed to assume it was put there beheter. What does it mean it was put there beheter? That the person was Machlis L'tok Shalom and built it out. Fine. But once it falls down, you're no longer allowed to assume that. Now you have to assume that it was put there by Isser. And that's the question. And the Gemara answers, no. Umishani Isur Shaini. Dafil Vadin ibn Behatr, Kinafla Aslov Nosal Sayyid. No, if you have a Chatzim Siyadas that was built when the Beis Hamikdash was around, and it falls down, so it's not going to be, even if you know for sure, you have a deed that says this was built when the Beis Hamikdash was still around. Right? Still you're not going to be allowed to rebuild it. Because there's an Isser to build in that way nowadays. So it's not considered that you're just repairing what was there. It fell down and you're rebuilding it. That's a new construction. And new construction can simply not be done in that way. So that's what changes from the Havamina to the Maskana. Is the assumption that when something was built, when the Beis Hamikdash was around, that you're allowed to rebuild it? Or is the assumption that no, you're not allowed to rebuild it? Tan Rabban, it says in Maravaita, lo yasud adam es beis besid. You're not allowed to use sid on your house. V'miriv bochol otevin mutter. But if you mix in some sand or some straw, then it's going to be mutter. Then it's not such refined quality building materials. That's going to be okay. Rabbi Yudah Omer, iriv bochol hareza tratzid va'aser. If you mix in sand, it only makes it stronger. So that's going to be aser. Yeah, it might discolor it a little bit, but it makes it stronger. So that you're not allowed to use. That's going to be aser. Tevin, if you mix in straw of mutter, that's okay. Tan Rabbanan. Kishacharav Abayis, Bishnia, when the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Rabu Prushim B'Yisrael, Shalalechel Basav Shalalishtos Yayin. So many Jewish people decided that they weren't going to eat meat or drink wine anymore. Nitva Lehen Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua decided to deal with these people and to discuss with them their decision to not eat meat or drink wine anymore. Amr Lehen B'ni. He said, "Bana, my children, why is it that you made this decision? Why are you not eating meat and not drinking wine anymore?" Amrullah, so they said to him, Nochal Basar Shem Menem Akrivin Al Gabi Mizbeach V'Achshav Batal. Should we eat Basar, which was used in the Beis HaMikdash as, we brought Karbanos on the Mizbeach, and now we no longer have the Karbanos, and we're going to eat meat. Every bite we take is going to remind us of the Karbanos that have been lost, and it's going to be so sad. Nishta Yayin, should we drink wine, Shem Naskin Al Gabi Mizbeach V'Achshav Batal, that they used for Nisuch on the Mizbeach, and now is Batal, now no longer exists. So how could we do it? Amar Lahem, he said to them, okay, it's just, you need to be consistent then. If you're not going to eat basar, you're not going to drink yayin because they were used in the Beis HaMikdash. So he said to them, Imkein, lechem lo nochal, shekvar bitlu menachos. So you know what? You shouldn't eat bread either because there's no korban mincha anymore. And every time you eat bread, it should remind you of the korban mincha. So they said, okay, efshar beperos, we'll subsist on fruit and vegetables. We'll go vegan and we'll be fine. So peros lo nochal shekvar bitlu bikurim. He said, no, you shouldn't be able to eat peros either because there's no more bikurim. They used to bring the bikurim, the first fruits, to the Beis HaMikdash. So peros you shouldn't be allowed to eat either because it should remind you of the bikurim. So they said, okay, efshar beperos acherim. We'll eat those fruits that you don't bring bikurim. You only bring bikurim from the Zayin Minim. So we'll eat fruits that are not from the Zayin Minim. We'll be fine with oranges, right? That's okay. So Mayim lo nishta shekvar batal nisach mayim. He said, okay. He saw that they're giving him a run for his money. He said, you shouldn't be able to drink water because there's no more nisach mayim on the Mizbeach. And that should sadden you too much. You shouldn't be able to drink water. So Shasku, finally, they were quiet. They realized that they made a mistake. So Amar Lahem, he said to them, Banai, Bo'u Va'omer Lechem, Shlo L'Sabel Kalikar, Yefshar. Shekvar Nigzer Gzeir. He says, well, you want me to tell you not to be Misabel at all? That's impossible. The Gzeir has been made that we have to be Misabel in Yerushalayim. The Gzeir has been made against Klal Yisrael. Not sure what the Nigzer Gzeir is referring to, the Gzeir against Klal Yisrael. Right, says Rashbam, Shekvar Nigzer Gzeir Churban, V'Nischai V'L'Sabel. Right, once the Churban, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us Churban, we have a Chiyuv to be Misabel. The Chziv Sisu Ata Mitzos Kol HaMisabel Maleha. Right, that you have to, that only those who are Misabel in Yerushalayim are going to be able to rejoice in Yerushalayim again. So we have a Chiyuv to be Misabel. There's no way around it. You're right about that. L'Sabel Yosem Yidai Yefshar, but to overdo it is not appropriate. Shame goes with Gzeirah al-Tzibur, and Kinroch Tzibur Yichol Namaba. You can't make a Gzeirah against the Tzibur unless the majority of the Tzibur is able to withstand such a Gzeirah. Tzib b'meirah atem na'arim va'osi atem kovim ha'gai kulam. So what are you supposed to do? We can't underdo it, we can't ignore it, but we can't overdo it either. So Ela kacham ruchachamim. Rather, the Chacham told us as follows. So these are the Gedarim of how to properly be Mesabel in Yerushalayim. Sada adam es beis obesid umeshaya bo davar muat. When you cement your house, you should leave, when you put the lime on your house, you should leave a little bit of area undone. Vikama, how much area should you leave undone? Am Rav Yosef ama al ama, one ama by one ama. Am Rav Chisda keneged haPesach, and that's across from the Pesach. Right, we saw previously that keneged haPesach, a smaller area will be of more significance when it's keneged haPesach than a larger area would be in another spot in the house. So it's dafka got to be keneged haPesach, and when you build a house, you should leave an area keneged haPesach. The halacha is when you build a house, not when you buy a house. Right? If you buy a house, it's already there. Similar to what we said before, if you buy a house and you have and it was done in such a way with tsiyurin, etc., you're allowed to leave it that way. You don't have to change it. So when you buy a house and there's no zecher l'churban, you don't have to change it. But when you build a house, you should certainly build a zecher l'churban into the house. Some people, when they paint, they like to paint one amma by one amma, square 2 feet by 2 feet, either white or black or whatever, as a zecher l'chorban. That's not really the halacha. The halacha is to leave it completely unfinished, not to just paint it a different color. It's to leave it totally unfinished. So, but again, if you're only buying a house and it's not, you didn't build it, there's no requirement. I once asked Rav Willig what he thinks about that idea of painting a different color even when you buy a house. He said, it's a zecher l'zecher. It's a good zecher to the fact that there's an idea of zecher l'chorban. But it itself is not a zecher l'chorban. Just in this conversation, when he said to them, "Oh, so you guys shouldn't drink water anymore." So Frek tells us, "Vim tamar amaylo ahadru de'efshar b'meir boros t'psulim nisuk and mashru b'suka." Right when he said you shouldn't eat fruits anymore, they said, "Oh, we'll just eat different kinds of fruits." So Why didn't he say the same? Why didn't they respond the same thing about the water? Right? Not every water was kasher l'nisuch. May boros was not kasher for nisuch hamayim. So why didn't they say, well, just get our water from boros, and then it's not kasher l'nisuch, and it won't remind us of it? V'omri didavar dehavi mimin she'osin bo nisuch. If it looks the same and it tastes the same and it feels the same, so then it's the same thing. Meaning, even though in a chinami, it couldn't have been used on the mizbeach, but it will still remind them of what was used on the mizbeach. When they eat oranges, they're not going to be reminded of bikurim because no one ever brought oranges for bikurim, right? So they could eat as much jaffa oranges as they want. But when it comes to something that's exactly the same item, so then it's not going to then it's not going to help them. The ilafach he takes shadiyish to yain mevushal. The pasul and sachem when they said they're not going to drink wine. Well, why didn't they drink wine? They should have just not drunk wine. That's kashal mizbeach. But yain mevushal they should have been able to drink, right? What's wrong with yain mevushal? You can't use yain mevushal on the mizbeach. So why didn't they use that? So you see that it must be that anything that's the same min there they would include in the prohibition. Also adam called sarkei sudu mishayi davmud back in the gemara vayter a person. When he prepares his meal, should leave over a small thing and not make it full. My, he, what does that mean? I'm a papa kasa da harsana. You leave out the kasa da harsana, which is some type of dip, I believe. So okay. Osi isha koltach shitav mishayaris davar muat. When a woman gets all dressed up, she should leave out a kasa da harsana. Rashbam says a plate of fried fish in their own fats or oils or stuff. Okay, whatever. Some type of breaded fried fish. When a woman gets dressed up, she should leave out something from her tachshitim, mahi, so what should she leave out? Amarav bas tzida. She should leave out the little extra hair that she would use on her forehead, that she would put on her forehead. Imashkachich, Shinam Pasuk says, Imashkachich Yushlaim, Tishkach Yimini, Tidbak Lashoni Lechiki. Mai al Rosh Simchasi. What does it mean, al Rosh Simchasi? Amar Yitzchak Ze'efer Maklash of Rosh Chasanim. That's a remnant to the idea that you put ashes on the head of the Chasan. Right? That's why when people do that, there's a minhag in many circles to sing Imashkachich or say Imashkachich under the chuppah, because the source for the Efer Maklash of Rosh Chasanim is from the Pasuk Imashkachich. Fine. Amalir of Papa Labaye, Hecha Manachla, where do you put it? Where exactly do you put the ashes on the Rosh Chasanim? B'makom Tefillin. You put it on the spot where they have the Tefillin. Shneamar. Because the pasuk says, "Lasum la aveli tzion, laseis lem pe'er tachas efer." Because pe'er is a reference to tefillin, and efer is ashes, so that's where we put the ashes. V'kalam misabel Yerushalayim zochav rabbi simchasa. And anyone who is misabel properly in Yerushalayim is eventually going to be able to see the simcha of Yerushalayim. Shneamar, simchas Yerushalayim v'gomer. Tanya, Amr Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, Miyom Shkar Beis HaMikdash, Din Hu Shenigzor Al Atzmeinu Shol Lechel Basu Shol Lishlos Yayin. From the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, really what we should do is we should make a gzera that we shouldn't eat meat or drink wine anymore. Ela Ein Gozum Gzera Al Tzibra, Lekin Rav Tzibri Chol Namud Ba. But we can't make such a gzera because the community cannot withstand such a gzera. People are not going to be able to live to that level. Umiyom Shepashta Malchus Arisha Shegzeres Lein Gzeres Rolos Vekashos Umivatelos Mena Torah Mitzvos. And from the time that we had terrible gzeros against us that try to hold us back from observing the Torah and doing mitzvos, vein manechas usan likanis l'shavua ben, and they don't allow us to go into a shavua haben. What's a shavua ben? Says Rashbam, mila, which is at the end of a shavua. You have mila after 1 week. So once they make gzeros against a bris mila, va'amilo liyeshua ben. And some say they don't allow us to go into a Yeshua ben. What's Yeshua ben? So Pashto says Yeshua ben is a Pidyon ben, right? The Yeshua ben. Others understand that one of these is a reference to the Shalom Zachar, that this might be a source for a Shalom Zachar somewhere in Shas. So Dinu Shenigzor Al Atzmeinu Shloli Siyishu L'Holid Banim. If they're making such gzeros, really we should be gozer on ourselves, not to marry women, not to have any children. V'nim Tzizar Shel Avram Avinu Kalam Eilav. But then instead of them killing us out, it will just die out on its own, the Zarah Shel Avram Avinu. Ella Hanach Lem Lishol Mutzav Shiyu Shogin Valyu Mezidin. But better for Klal Yisrael to continue to have children, at least they'll be Shogig rather than being Mezidin. Why? Because they're unable to stand up to such a Gzerah, and it would turn out that they would be Mezid, and therefore we're not going to be Gozer. It's an unusual usage of the phrase Mutzav Shiyu Shogin Valyu Mezidin. It sounds like what we're doing is really wrong. By having families in times of Gzeros is really the wrong thing to do, but we're just going to allow it to happen, which is a little bit strange, because it doesn't seem like it should be the wrong thing to do. It seems like it should be, at the end of the day, it's the right thing to do. But okay, that's what the Gemara assumes. We will stop here. Bez Hashem, Hadron Lachas Kosabatim. Tomorrow we will pick up from Perek HaMocher HaSabayis. It definitely will get shorter again.